Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. And I don't know if things feel like news is breaking, but we seem to be getting a lot more information about local sports day by day. Good job, ESPN Louisville. Steve Rummage is still moving. Brian Hall is in the booth.
Hey, I got something to address real quick with LSL. You know, I mean, Caleb Glenn is supposed to be my guy. Why do they go and get him on? Hey, now I will say this. I don't think I'm giving away too much information, but Caleb Glenn lives in the same neighborhood as Ethan Moore, so I think that's kind of cheating, right?
Did Ethan Moore have Caleb Glenn on?
Yeah, so Caleb Glenn jumped on last night. So, you know, LSL's every Wednesday night from 6 to 8 o'clock right here on 93.9 The Ville. Caleb actually had a game at 6:30, so he jumped on with him at like 6:03 for about like 6-7 minutes. Some of the people who listened to that interview, you'll realize the first thing is that Caleb has a deeper voice than anybody here at the whole studio.
Really?
and the kid's like 15 years old. And he is a guy that's very, I guess, short-worded.
Yeah, right.
But he's getting better at it. He's working on his interview skills. His parents are actually working with him on it because they know that he's a big-time prospect, yep. So he's going to have to be doing a lot of these over time. So they're working with him. He did a good job last night, but it was kind of some just quick one-hitter things. He talked about, you know, what Coach Mack was kind of talking to him about, and he says that Coach Mack's kind of telling him that he could be the last, you know, piece of the puzzle for a Final Four run and that he could be a hometown hero. And he talked a little bit about his visit, and he said that he really enjoyed the campus. He didn't go into a lot of detail, but he said the facilities were some of the best he'd seen, mm-hmm. and different things like that. But I just had to get that off my chest real quick because Ethan Moore, you're not supposed to slip under me and get Caleb on, but I do understand because they do live right down the street from each other.
Listen, such is the risk. Every time we say a good idea, every time we use a good idea on the radio, it's amazing. It is amazing how fast our predatory environment takes our guests. You know, yeah. I mean, it just happens. So you think it was just coincidence that we brought up bringing Caleb Glenn on, and one day later he's Brian. Listen, even if it is a coincidence, I don't care. I've been undercut way too many times for me to even just believe in coincidences anymore.
Well, I'll take it one step further. So I actually was on a phone call with Victor Glenn last night, Caleb's dad, and we'll get Caleb on our show. Don't worry. He'll be on our show whenever we want him.
No, and here's the thing. I'm obviously joking, but we do prefer the parent connection anyway. Because like I said, as an alum, sometimes I do wonder if I am a basketball player and alum, I wonder where the lines are. Listen, it's like Coach Mack said. You don't realize.
He's texting me.
Of course he is.
He's listening.
Of
he
course
said it was a coincidence. It has been in the works.
Okay, listen, I got no problem, but Ethan, I don't believe in coincidences anymore, and don't take it personal. So, but just like Coach Mack said in an interview earlier, violations happen all the time, knowingly, unknowingly. You report violations every single month on something you've done. You know, like I said, but between improper email response to a question. I mean, it's just, it happens every single month. I remember one time I had to go talk to compliance and Kenny Klein because I mentioned Reese Gaines' name while he was a commit and he hadn't signed yet. And as soon as I did that,
Madisonville, Wisconsin.
Yes, right? that was an NCAA violation, and we had to self-report that. And I think we were under probation at the same time, you know. But you get what I'm saying. Like, easy, those kind of things happen all the time.
I was just messing. But, yeah, we'll get Caleb on sometime. Or Vic, you know, because Vic would love to
Pops,
come on.
Yeah, yeah, Pops Glenn is definitely what we got to do. Oh, so, yeah. Speaking, and I do mean speaking. First of all, the title of the show is something to the effect of, I'm still on one. Now, I know I haven't had the best. I've been a little surly lately. I recognize this. I thought my surly nature would subside yesterday. It still has not, because of a couple of things. And we're going to talk about them in the first couple of segments. Maybe Steve Rummage, when he gets back in here, he can bring some levity back into my life. But I'm not sure about that just yet. Speaking of Coach Mac and Coach Mac interviews. Ugh. Oh, something happened this morning. Drew, I hope you're listening. And if somebody knows Drew right now, you should be texting Drew right now. Uh-oh. Marcus has a big problem with you. Drew L. Diener. I don't know if your middle name's L, but I was in the mood to say Drew Laverius Diener.
That works.
Drew, when I am trying to make it have a professional interview, when I'm trying to decide on how to approach it, how to make it sound as professional, I literally mock the questions you're looking for, the cadence of your questions, I go to your interviews when I have an interview coming up. But most importantly, you speak from the point of view of what do the fans most want to know. I listened to you have a 15-minute interview with Coach Chris Mack. You literally work with one of the best basketball minds in this city in a Marcus Maben, right across from you. You've listened to me go from cooler room to studio to conference room to Nate Huber's office. You pass me and you listen to me every day. Years and years you listen to me and you say, what do you think the problem is? Kids not dunking. Biggest problem, they got to finish around the basket. You've listened to me talk about getting and ones, attacking people's bodies, finishing around the basket, playing with athleticism. I heard you, Drew. I heard you at the very end. I probably should have asked him about dunking. You think? This whole fan base is a fan base from Doctors of Dunk era. Everybody's thinking the same thing, Drew. Everybody wants to know, is there going to be an emphasis on finishing strong, i.e., dunking the basketball? You had Chris Mack on for 15 minutes. You've heard me complain about our lack of dunking for 3 years straight. My last 48 hours have been miserable because I've watched some of the more athletic human beings on this planet finger roll and barely dunk in these videos. Every fan. Drew, I know you didn't get all the way off Twitter. I know you saw Ethan Moore and LSL posting about it, talking about it. I know you've heard over the last 48 hours that Marcus Maben is not going to stand for the habit of the finger roll or the alley-oop slash tip-in alley-oop out of Jalen Withers. Coach Mac, I hear you. And I'm glad that Jalen Withers stayed around a month. I'm glad that Gabe Wisnitzer stayed here. And listen, I did it. I never went home. And I love Clarksville, Tennessee. I love Bunker Hill Road. I love it. I stayed to get better at basketball. I heard you, Coach Mac. His perimeter game is getting better. His perimeter game should be improving. But his fading away dunk from the basket has to be a high level of priority. The Gabe Wisnitzer fingertip dunk, Roosevelt Wheeler fingertip jelly roll dunk, Marcus's alarm bells are going crazy. And I'm not happy. And listen, again, there's people rolling their eyes at what I'm saying. Coach, I hear you. You're rolling your eyes, or you're agreeing with me, or you're turning up the volume in the Cuber Center right now, saying, gentlemen, this is what one of our forefathers thinks of us at the moment. Y'all got to start dunking the ball. You got to get in habit. So, Coach Ross, Coach Pegues, Coach Mack, the trainers, the videographers, stop posting barely dunk video. Stop. I watched a video yesterday of Sam Williamson above the rim trying to control a tip, and then Jalen Withers simultaneously backing up the control tip of Sam Williamson, only to be a little higher and a little closer, and both of them light-handedly trying to tip that ball in the basket. I saw maybe one authoritative dunk. And if y'all taint my baby Mike James, because I saw the way he likes to dunk the basketball. If y'all learn his dunking mentality out of him, if y'all taint my baby Mike James, I'll never forgive you. Drew, you didn't ask Coach Mac about him. Drew, use my name. There's no way. I knew yesterday when somebody said, are you going to be listening at 8:30 for Coach Mac to be on the Drew Deaner Show? Somebody is asking me this question at 12:30 at night on the YouTube channel, Made for the Ville, by the way. They asked me, are you going to be up to listen to the Coach Mac? Because I knew I spent 15 minutes waiting for one question. I mean, asking about the self-reporting, that was a good question. The only other question to be asked, will there be an emphasis on the dunk? Because we have somebody who's like number six all time in dunking, and he's pissed off about it for the second year in a row. He is highly, highly, highly agitated. And it's not a dunk for show. It's not, doctor's dunk. It's strong finishing. It's these teams that don't have this level of athlete should not be trying to block shots without fouling our team. We should be leading. Drew, You were supposed to say, we have a guy that works in this building, coach. You may have heard of him. His name is Marcus Maven. He seems to be extremely perturbed about the lack of dunking. Now, is that something that you can put an emphasis on? Is that something? Do you feel like these are guys that just are a little more finesse than athleticism? Anything. Anything. But what we can't have is him not to be asked that question by you. Grades on Drew Diener's interview coming up next. Middays with Marcus Maben on 939 The Ville.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker. Earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. Of course, we're not doing grades for the Drew Diener interview. I thought he did a good job. I was just a little agitated because I do want to know. I do want to hear. And I actually think there's got to be an emphasis on finishing strong, especially when you're going to start going up tempo. But again, this is me being moody. I know this is not the time right now. They're implementing an actual system. But I'm excited about that idea. Brian, can you start us off with answer number two from Coach Mack when it comes to, here's the thing, people, the reason I'm not at full tilt panic on what I saw right now, they're thinking about running right now. It's hard to, it's not the most natural thing to run extremely fast and be able to kind of map out your steps. If you haven't been playing at, Coach Mack said, if you haven't been playing at breakneck speed, you don't see the opportunities for alley-oops like you will in transition. You don't see the opportunity where you can start naturally, like timing your steps on where to finish around the rim. When you deal with half-court offenses of kind of pick and roll finesse offense, you just don't get that same level of opportunity. So now, like I said, right now, I want to see more dunking in the drills. I don't expect in the actual, you know, scrimmaging to see a lot of dunking, but that's something, like I said, I will be paying particular attention to. But right now, we're talking about new offensive systems. Hit number two.
Whoever's willing to put out the effort to get up and down the floor. You know, yesterday we did it for the very first time. And you can imagine, obviously really, really chaotic in the very beginning until the game sort of slows down and guys understand how to play out of spacing, how to play with the ball, you know, being pushed at breakneck speed. But I think, you know, guys like Jalen that can run the floor, certainly guys that can shoot the ball. You know, we brought in guys that we felt like could really stretch the defense. And we're going to give them that opportunity to shoot threes in transition, you know, provided they get down the floor. So, you know, I'd like to think that it can benefit anybody. You know, I think Gabe yesterday did a really good job of running the floor. He's a guy that knows once the ball changes hands, you know, that if he can react quicker and be a little bit more lag-free than the other guys, although he may not win a sprint, he can do that by getting a head start. And so, you know, we're just in the very beginning stages of implementing a system that I think our guys are going to enjoy playing in.
Listening to that, you know, I think like most people, we all start kind of picturing our team kind of running. When he says running with the purpose, running in space, it is like when the ball goes up and when we secure the rebound, it was always if Cam Murray or Reese Gaines had the ball in the middle, if I was on one side of the court, you know, I stay over there. If Nate Johnson's on the other side, you stay over there. Quentin Bailey, We found our lanes and we ran them, and we made sure we stayed out of each other's way. If he beat me down there for the first alley-oop, you know, and he didn't get it, he would know to get out of the way because Marcus is trailing, and he might have a secondary alley-oop. We knew how to get it out of each other's way. But
I think he's allowing Ross McManus to put his stamp on the offense as well.
Yeah, 1,000%. But here's the thing. I'm going with a question. I'm going to ask you, Brian, and I'll open it up for callers. The question is, it's a question that it makes me cringe. But I feel like I am in a hypercritical. I think coaches do this. I think the beginning of camp, coaches are picky. Everybody's screwing up. Coaches are on everybody every mistake. Would you agree with that? Like, that's the natural cycle at the beginning of the camp.
Especially when you probably got a lot of new faces like they do.
New faces or talented teams.
And new coaches.
And new coaches. We got now see Ross, I don't think so. Coach McManus, I don't think he can be like the hard ass, you know, coach right now. But I think Coach Mack can.
No, like, Coach Mack definitely can't. Pegues probably can, too.
He, you're right.
The other two are kind of just getting their feet wet, but at the same time, they're still putting their stamp when they talk to Coach Mack behind closed doors and different things like that.
Right. Okay, so I got to ask a question. It's a very uncomfortable question, and I'm going to open the phone lines up for this question. And take your time with this one, Brian. It's going to sting a bit, okay? So I'm just preparing you. The question is, new offensive system in place. Who would have benefited more, Aiden or Josh Nickleberry?
Josh Nickleberry.
I'm listening.
I just think that
81-50, 93-9 is the number, 38-31, 93-9 is the text line. Who would have benefited more for a high-tempo offense, Josh Nickleberry or Aiden Nagahan?
I think Aiden Nagahan, and I could be completely wrong with this after watching a little bit of the Grand Canyon video, but I think that Aiden's more of a slow it down, like let's set up the play, I'm going to post up, you know, use my strength to my advantages. Whereas I think Nickleberry's a guy who gets out runs. I think the transition would help Nickleberry get some easy lay-ins, you know, when he snowbirds a little bit. I think he also would get more spot-up opportunities. With the fast-paced style, you got a lot of slashing to the basket, which opens up the kickouts for a guy like Nickleberry.
I thought about it.
You disagree, I can tell.
I don't know. I don't have an answer.
What? You're the 50-50 guy this time?
Listen.
Are you pulling a Brian right now?
When I was asking the question, I was trying to figure out. Because here's the thing. Aiden is fast. Aiden's fast.
He's a lot more athletic than I thought after I watched the Grand Canyon videos.
Aiden, I'm not going to make much of the Grand Canyon video.
Yeah.
But I've seen Aiden against Miami run fast and be at the basket ready to finish. I don't know, like I said, his I don't, again, Aiden not being able to play the defensive style was his problem. So I'll put a minus on Aiden's defensive style. So going from defense to offense, purely offense, and I'm kind of doing a grading scale of pros and cons right now just in my head. Aiden can run, and Aiden can jump. Those are two things we know he can do. Josh Nickleberry can run, jump, shoot, and play defense. Josh Nickleberry was the kind of guy who could shoot in a transition setting, too, with open space.
I also think he would benefit from some of the transition. I mean, he's not a big transition guy, but I think he would get some easy buckets.
I think he is, though.
Say?
I think Josh Nickleberry was a transition. Listen, I hated asking
you think
this question.
Is a transition guy?
Yeah. We just didn't. Yeah, we didn't go from offense to – or from defense to offense fast.
We didn't put him in the best spot to be successful.
I mean, again, you're a two-guard. You got to be able to get to the basket, Josh.
Yeah.
So I'm not taking –
But you can tell he wanted to settle for shots more.
Yeah, yeah. He wanted to just step back, two dribble, you know, one or two dribbles, or spot up and shoot. But he missed it all. But if there was a emphasis on speed. But here's the thing too. We didn't have the depth to concentrate on speed. So yeah, so I'm not pointing fingers on Josh Nickleberry not being successful. I was just thinking for a moment who would have benefited more out of the sped up pace. Listening to the coach talk about Jalen Withers. Go to one.
You know, I think Jalen Withers obviously had a breakout year as a redshirt freshman. I think he's making even greater strides this offseason. He spent the whole month of May along with a few other guys. Most of our guys went home, and some of obviously our newcomers hadn't arrived. And so Jalen stayed in town, took a class in May, and you can tell the benefits of that. He looks a lot bigger, a lot stronger, a lot more confident. His perimeter skills continue to grow, and I think he's going to be one of the better players in the ACC, and we're excited about it.
When he says perimeter skills, what do you think Jalen is working on the most?
I mean, I think he's trying to get to be a knockdown three, because I think the idea is to move him to the four. I think he was playing out of position all last year due to lack of depth, Malik getting hurt, you know, and he was our best talent to move over there. But we saw when Malik came back for a couple games, when he moved to the four, he has the chance to be a dominant four, where he was, you know, getting by as a five. And I think that the ideal four now in basketball has to be able to stretch the floor. And so we know he has some post skills. Obviously, we're hoping that he, you know, dunks the ball a little bit more. But I think he wants to be able to knock down the three and be able to be a stretch four. The four is where his future is, and we've said it from the start. We think he's an NBA talent. We thought that within a couple of years he could possibly work himself into the lottery if he plays well. But I think one of the main things in order for him to make that jump to the NBA is to be able to knock down the three ball a little bit better.
What makes him an NBA talent to us?
6'9", athletic. He's versatile in the sense that he can play multiple positions, because he could really play anywhere from the three to the five.
When you say athletic, what do you mean?
What
I'm asking is, does he play athletic around contact?
I think his athleticism is more in his feet and his footwork. You know, he's quicker with some of his moves than some of the big men that he's going up against. I guess it would be considered like his first step in a post move. I don't know. He just seems very agile down low. Whereas sometimes you get the guys who, you know, they're 6'10", but they're like stone feet and they hardly move. He's a guy that he can move like his feet like a small forward, but he can play the center spot.
That's a good answer, saying his agility is where his athleticism is, not necessarily the height of his jumping ability. I'm always frustrated because, again, I don't know if I can coach y'all out of saying positions. I don't know how many times I have to say his position has nothing to do with. If you get a 3-point shot, an open look, I don't care if you're 6'2" or 6'9".
Well, nowadays the center needs to at least be able to be a threat to shoot.
But everybody has to be able to finish around the basket as well. Or you can't be on the court.
I think his finishing, the thing is that's frustrating with Jalen is he does everything to get himself in the right position, but it's the finish. And it's just that he needs to be more aggressive when he actually takes the ball up. But getting to the point where he is getting his layup or his dunk, he's very good. And that's what I'm saying. He's got good post skills. He's agile. He makes the right plays. Finish him.
I'm not. I agree with the general athleticism comment. I can't wait to see him. If Coach Mack is excited about his improvement in the offseason, again, I'm gonna go crazy about the dunking.
But I also think a guy like, you know, you say the position doesn't matter, but he was kind of under the basket by himself a lot. And now I think, you know, and you know, we're playing guys, nothing against Samuel Williamson, but Samuel Williamson came as in as a guy that we thought was going to be a 2-3 combo, and he's playing the four next to you. When he gets a guy like Malik in there, I think it's going to take some of the pressure off of him as far as the work under the basket. And so I think that's why he's working on his perimeter skills, because Malik's now going to be the guy more so under the basket. And so Withers has to expand his game.
I'm getting to the text line here. He's tall enough to shoot over shorter defenders and quick enough to get – okay, even with that question, I don't think I've ever seen him necessarily shoot over somebody. Like, because it's not like he has a high release or anything. So a 6'3", 6'4", guard could bother his shot on the three-point line. Like I said, this is not me drilling away everything that – that's Jalen Withers doing. That, trust me, this is not what I'm doing. I'm saying, what does he have to do to reach his professional potential?
Do you think he needs to work on a kind of like a baby hook? Because the thing is we know he can get to the basket. All he's got to work on is his finishing. And obviously, if you can get to the basket and dunk it, that's the highest percentage shot. So do it. But at the same time, do you think him getting a little bit, you know, more of a baby hook and just some kind of just different shots that he can make down low?
And then I got to deal with this one, Brian. Hold on. But Jokic can't dunk for squat.
Yeah, the dude gets about a book off the ground.
Oh, God. Actually, he probably – the second jump. Okay, now I'm curious about that. Maybe the second jump. Somebody just sent that in.
Second bounce?
Yeah.
So getting an offensive rebound, going right back up?
See, and here's the thing. And then you get this text, and I agree, text, with what you're saying. You must be forgetting to spin the spin move that Jalen Withers put on Duke, right? And I'm like, yes, that was one. That was one, and that was angry Jalen Withers.
That's the guy who goes and watches the high school recruits highlight tape, and is like, he's going to be a stud. And you're realizing you're watching like
plays. What I'm saying is that play is the one that makes us raise the raise the bar for him. You know, that one play, even on that play, I don't think he jumped high. I think he just kind of, it was a desperation situation.
But to your point, that's what makes us think that he could be a lottery pick. That's what makes us stay on him, because we know he has the potential to do that on a regular basis. We just want to see it more consistently instead of just flashes of it.
Okay, so I want to move out of this, because I know I've gone way too far down the Jalen Withers thing. But when Coach mentions him, and he also mentioned Gabe Wisniewski, or we'll talk about that a little later. I want to kind of jump out of this conversation. He seems to be another conversation that seems to have everybody a little bit on pins and needles. The name, image, and likeness situation. Can you go to that Mac 6, please?
You have states that are already putting it in play July 1, and if we don't have, you know, as an NCAA member, you know, have the opportunity to capitalize off their name, image, and likeness, and other schools, because they're in a particular state, do to disadvantage. Now, I do think that they're going to get something ironed out, and hopefully here over the next month or two, and then at that point, then at least, you know, we'll have a little bit of equality in it. But I mean, it's a hot topic for sure; it needs to be addressed.
States are now starting to join the fight against the NCAA. States coming up with general name, image, and like. I do agree with you, Diener. There was some grandstanding, but to see states get on a can't lose political horse against the NCAA, that's the hot thing. That is going to force the NCAA to speed up. Actually. This, you know what? This name, image, and likeness.
Does NCAA do anything fast?
This name, image, and likeness could potentially be the last straw. Now, I know people have heard me talk about this, about the NCAA losing its power, the streamlining of the NCAA and what it brings to the table, and how to kind of separate, you know, what money is going where, and the bureaucracy and all that good stuff. This name, image, and likeness with the state involvement may be the last The last line of defense of the NCAA. The NCAA can take back, like, if they speed up. Again, we're talking about these going into effect July 1st. There are universities right now that have a plan to literally come out swinging. Now, no universities are unveiling their plans, but here's the thing, people. The universities that are trying to jump ahead, let's say somewhere like a is it Texas A&M that has the big oil, has the big booster?
I believe so. I know what you're talking about.
Look that up real quick. The booster for Texas A&M, I believe it's Texas A&M or maybe Mississippi State. Either way, there's a couple of programs that are looking to, as far as the moment July 1st hits, they are looking to absolutely pounce on the name, image, and likeness. Oklahoma State, I'm sorry. It's Oklahoma State, Brian.
Yeah, I just saw it.
Was it T-Boone Pickens or something like that? Like,
well, no, T-Boone Pickens is Texas A&M.
Okay.
Pickens attended Texas A&M on a basketball scholarship. Okay. And then, yeah, he supports them.
Okay. Yeah, I was okay. Oklahoma State, I do know. Thank you, Texter. They do have a big alumni guy too. But T-Boone Pickens is who I was speaking of originally. But there are those kind of programs that are he died, but look, his support of the university still lives on.
There, yeah, so he died at the age of 91 about 2 years ago, but he's from Oklahoma but a graduate of Texas A&M.
Listen, I know his money is running his university strong. So
yeah, he's worth over $500 million.
I wonder how much in endowment he left to the it doesn't matter. Y'all get the point. Jeez, y'all get the point. Boosters like that level guy are looking to reorganize. They're looking to abuse the name, image, and likeness of their university. State schools or like privately booster funded schools will benefit amazingly. And listen, there could be a monumental shift because, let's not get it confused. The limitations will be pushed immediately. You may have one season of people getting their feet wet in the name, image, and likeness waters, so to speak. But there's going to be an absolute wave of, okay, first school that has this guy do this, the first time the story gets out on what somebody what somebody does. Listen, it's funny. Maybe last week or the week before, I had this whole segment set up. You know what the segment was? It was a let's let bygones be bygones segment. The reason I thought of this segment, right, is because over the last few years, let's say over the last 5 years, everybody knows what's been going on. We know what Tom Jurich's strengths and weaknesses were, but you know, things happen, and some of Louisville's longstanding booster business relationships were severed for the most part. After the severing of these business relationships, Vince Tyree had his work cut out for him. He had to reestablish some new business ties. Am I going to be the one to ask this uncomfortable question? Is it up to me to ask the most looming uncomfortable question? Whew. Is it time to welcome some prominent businessmen back to Louisville relationships? I'm not going to say any names. Use your imagination. What local businessman do we need to let bygones be? Listen, I'm in the mood to take back Chubba Purdy. Maybe I'm in the mood to take back some local businessmen. Extremely successful businessmen. Businessmen. Texter, I see you already. Extremely influential businessmen who have a 20-plus-year history of supporting the University of Louisville. I can see the text line. Is everybody getting extremely uncomfortable with this subject? Listen, I thought the money was what mattered. So y'all want Vince Tyree to have to scramble when one guy or one lady could just come in here and change the fortunes of our entire... Colonel Sanders, everybody. Of course, we're talking about Colonel Sanders. Who did y'all think I was talking about? What? Who? Colonel Sanders, of course. We get Colonel Sanders back in the fold, who has supported the University of Louisville, obviously the city of Louisville. He would make for a great ambassador to. Yeah, no, y'all get what I'm saying. Listen, the serious point is these businesses, I hope that Vince Tyree is really coming up with a solid game plan, expecting as of July 1st, we need to be able to compete with any university and their name, image, and likeness program. Is that what I need to take?
Yeah, we got Cody.
Cody, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away, my man.
Hey, what's going on, man? So, yeah, I really hope that we improve at Duncan because I really feel like you're about to have, like, an aneurysm soon. So, like...
What do you mean about to? I'll be on my fourth.
Yeah, I caught a video. As soon as I saw that video, I was like, oh, my God, I can't wait for Marcus to stream. And then I tuned in for a minute. I was like, yep, I saw this coming. But, you know... Jalen's going to get it. Like, you know, beating a dead horse, you know, last year, it's kind of like the shooting, you know, with COVID, they couldn't get into the gym and probably work on these habits as much as they wanted to. And I think with a guy as meticulous as Ross McMahon's doing him and Chris Mack are both doing the majority of the development, but, you know, Ross worked with NBA guys and he knows exactly how to, like, you know, teach explosion and all that. So I think he's going to build these habits. It's not like a Jalen Johnson. Jalen Johnson to me was the worst guy when it came to dunking that I've ever seen out of a power forward. And I liked him a lot, but it's like, dude, he was so low and he had the most spectacular missed dunks I've ever seen in my entire life. But
Jalen Johnson had some spectacular misses too.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. That's what I'm saying. Jalen Johnson had. I'm sorry.
I didn't hear you clear. Then maybe I screwed up.
No, you're good, man. Hey, but yeah, the best missed dunks I've ever seen in my life. So I think Jalen Withers, you know, when he does dunk, I mean, it looks way more explosive. I just think he's got to get into these habits of, you know, taking contact and stuff like that. So, I'm not too worried about him. But yeah, I mean, if we run into the same problem this season, man, I'm worried for you, bro. So, you know, you gotta get a hold of Mac and be like, dude, don't do this to me, please. So that's all I got, man. But I think we're gonna be all right, bro. But hey, you have a good one, man.
Cody, I appreciate the call. It's gonna be either a Mac responsibility and make me only have to deal with it on game days, or you can tell the video department and Beckman, we're gonna talk. We're gonna talk soon.
Mac talked about him today.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I know. And you gotta have to stop putting that stuff on the videos. Now, I don't know if Beckman is an expert in athleticism and he's just like using his best footage, but he has to know that there's a Beckman. Maybe you should go through the history of this city a little bit before you put out your next video. Maybe you should throw in some 1980 literature, some 1986 literature, and realize that what you're putting on that tape is, while we enjoy it for the most part, there's a piece of this fan base that's getting a little irritated with the lack of dunking. Texter says, oh, we need to bring Shaq in the fold as the spokesman of some organization who could bring a lot of money.
It is a Louisville-based organization.
It is a Louisville. And Shaquille O'Neal,
hey, by the way, talking about the NIL a little bit, I do know that guys that are getting recruited right now in high school, that is something that they're starting to think about.
No, yeah.
Their marketability when they go to a certain university.
No, listen, they have to. I was kind of surprised at how intense Coach Mack sounded about it. You know, like he obviously is saying, yes, this is a thing. We need to get on this.
I'm just saying, if we keep the hometown kids, it could be a big deal for them. If they go to a certain university, they might get more marketability than another one.
And let's not forget, Shaq was going to come to Louisville.
He was.
It's time to start maybe bridging that gap, repairing that bond. We need money. Middays with Marcus Maven on 939 The Ville.